Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shadow of the Orc Star by J.T. Williams. Narrated by Daniel Thomas May. 1. The Lost Woods. He gave up on convincing Tulasiro to change her path. For many hours she had pulled them through a deep fog, and the only hint he had was they were headed north. The truth was, she was following what she was meant to follow. In the time his narwhal had left, went to Meridas, and saved him from the wizard and his own brother, she had changed, and Keelan could do nothing to dissuade where he was being taken.
"We need to go south," Keelan said plainly.
But their course didn't change. It had been only a few days since his parents' deaths. The same day he pushed his baby brother onto an Eirin ship into the care of a Rusis that seemed as confused as he was at that moment. Worse, he now knew his brother was alive, but trapped by a mask. Rhysdania. He would find that place, wherever it was. He still questioned where he was. At sunrise of the second day, they turned east and now travelled down a large river with leaf-covered banks on either side. The trees reached over them and darkened out the sunlight above. They were almost taller than the ones of Urlas. The woods were strangely devoid of life, be they beast, elf, dwarf, or others. They came to a narrower region of the river, and Tulasiro stopped, releasing the rope from her mouth and swimming in a circle before diving back underwater.
"I see that the sea god gave you the ability to leave the ocean and go into a river, but..."
The narwhal began to swim away.
"Tulasiro, where are you going?"
She ignored him and kept swimming, leaving him alone on the shoreline. Now he was stuck, and he had no clue where he actually was. A yellow bird flew down from a tree and landed on the edge of his boat.
"I don't guess you can actually tell me where I am."
The bird flew away. That served as a summary of his exact situation. Keelan felt his head. It was still swollen from the blow to his skull during the fighting. His arms still ached from the scratches, but they had at least scabbed over. He had no food, and no narwhal.
"Some friend."
Keelan stood up in the boat and stepped on shore. The woods were old. He could feel it in the earth, deep vibrations in the soil like it had been untouched by any foot for a long time. There was a whisper in the wind, but he struggled to make it out. He needed to figure out where he was, and ahead he could see a hill that might give him some idea of that. He began to walk toward it, but he couldn't find an absolutely straight path. Large tree trunks forced him around and down into valleys of rock before he would work his way back up to find that he had gone too far north or west. He walked back the other way, attempting to snake his way down a path that would lead him to where he wanted, but then again realized that he went back past the hill and found ruins so weathered he could only barely see the fact it was crafted stone. Attempting to avert the overall issue of walking in any direction again, he began up into the trees. A large pine reached high into the boughs, and in a quick fashion, he climbed up the tree. He scanned his surroundings. Not only could he not see any other hills or ruins, he saw only more trees. He had now lost the river as well, and soon he would lose any light and chance to get out of the woods. He found a fork in a tree and laid back.
"If I'm stuck here, I may as well keep a good view outward."
As the sun sank and a pale moon rose over the trees, he caught a glimmer of water in the far distance. It was a lake. He pulled out his map, but noticed he only had the coastline of this new land. He made out where he might be in reference to time and what he saw, but if this was true, he was stuck between two mountain ranges. He saw a spark of light beneath his feet. He sat up and looked down. It was a fairy, zipping and shooting around the branches, ascending to where he was sitting. It floated in front of him for a moment, and seemed to laugh.
"What?"
The fairy shook and then struck him in the head before floating down to the branch below them. He rubbed the spot the fairy had hit.
"Do you want me to come to that branch?"
The fairy dropped again, and Keelan checked his grip before dropping down branch by branch as the fairy took him to ground level. The sounds of bugs and singing crickets filled the air. An owl screeched in the distance, and he heard the flutter of its wings and saw a shadow as it flew off. The fairy danced a path through the trees that Keelan followed. He was careful not to get left by the swift sprite. Up a fallen tree and across an offshoot of the river, they then went through an open archway of tree limbs and to rockier ground, where large stones littered the landscape. Climbing up to the top of a boulder, he found that the fairy danced above a stone bridge that led to an open area of green grass, bare of trees. He then saw a shadow to his right. His hands went to his hilts. He glanced around, and a gust blew through the trees. A shadow again, this time to his right. He drew his blades, and the fairy that had led him darkened and fluttered away. He closed his eyes and took a deep breath. For a moment he felt again at the arena in Urlas, shifting shadows around him, his blade in hand as Master Rooks watched over him. A nimble footfall was in the air. It moved with elegance, in silence, except for Keelan's attuned ear. It moved like an elf. He opened his eyes to see the carved edge of a wooden staff swinging toward his head. He jerked his blade up to catch it and twisted his other blade in a thrust. Smack! There was another attacker behind him. He did a defensive spin, knocking back a total of three attackers. A thrown knife spun toward him, and he deflected it to the side just as an arrow whistled in the air. He ducked and then rolled into one of the attackers. They stumbled. He made a low slash that was parried before he kicked the attacker. The wooden staff came diagonally down toward his head. He pushed off the staff with his blades and knelt down to the ground in preparation for another attack, scanning his sides. But now his attackers were still. A man stood off to the side with a large owl on his shoulder. He clapped twice.
"Keelan of Urlas, half-elf of renown, indeed it is you. We seek your help."
2. Scions. He stood up slowly, and the other three cloaked warriors lowered their weapons. The man with the owl approached him.
"Please, we do not mean you harm, but we did have to test you. Perhaps you are as strong as they say?"
The man bowed to him.
"I am Ruach, of the Scions of Starfall, and I hope you will forgive our rash welcome."
Keelan sheathed his swords, but did not return the bow.
"It depends on the true manner of your welcome. You fight surprisingly well. I did not expect to find ones like you in these dank woods on the edge of nowhere. I have been lost for hours trying to find my way out."
"These are the lost woods of Recip. It is an enchanted region that spans both sides of the river and up into the elven lands of Figmark. It is a safeguard against those who would do us harm. Come, let us take you to somewhere more comfortable."
Keelan followed the small group, calling themselves Scions. They proceeded down a bleak stone path that crossed the grassy glade and continued on toward a stone road lit with torchlights that stood on stone pedestals at hip level.
"You have seen much death?"
Ruach asked directly.
"I have, but it matters little. Whatever you feel you need from me, I am sure it does not mean as much as my own desires. I am a mere elf from the north."
"Indeed. We know of Urlas, and of your father and mother."
Keelan looked at him.
"Then you will be saddened to know they have died."
The traveling group paused. Ruach stared back at him.
"The Urlas blade and the Archon have fallen?"
"A sacrifice, to revive the orcs."
Two of the other elves chattered between themselves, but Keelan could not make out the words.
"I knew your father was looking for your brother and mother," Him and I spoke frequently of many things in the past few months. There were rumors they had been taken by the Ur. It seems the mad matriarch finally got what she wanted.
They came to a large wooden wall built into trunks of several trees that veiled the forest path. From the trees above, a woman descended to the ground.
You found the half-elf?
The woman was slender and had blonde hair that was long down her back.
We did.
The woman nodded and made a hand signal into the trees. The wall vanished, and they walked through. Keelan turned around to see the wall solidify again. There was a circle of stone structures with high steeples and a great tree in the center of the elven buildings.
Welcome to our humble abode, Ruach said.
You live away from others?
Away, yes. From others, well, that is a bit more complicated. We work for the others, but we are considered fringe followers of the elven kingdoms.
Scions of Starfall. You refer to the Starfall Concordat, I am sure,
Keelan said.
Indeed, but the Concordat was really just a ceasefire, not any real agreement of peace.
Scions, the true elves,
the blonde said.
They did what was needed, no matter the cost.
This is Elaka, one of the best archers in all of the trees that stretch within elven lands.
Elaka bowed.
The rumors heard on the coast towns speak of an arena elf that killed more guards than I believe possible.
Perhaps it is so, said Keelan. Many things of late have seemed impossible. I do not understand why my narwhal friend led me right to you. What is this about?
The sea creature came to our druids as they sought the knowledge of the darkness to the south. The druids saw your zeal upon her mind, and the belief that you were of Urlas.
They came to a circular table near the large tree. Keelan sat down with Elaka as Ruach motioned to the others to leave them alone. Keelan looked up into the trees, spotting the moon and a clear night sky. The owl that Ruach had on his shoulder now sat on a perch to their right. Ruach took a torch and lit basins of red rocks surrounding them.
This region is protected, Keelan. Do not worry about your enemy here.
I don't frequently worry about them when they are standing next to me.
Of course.
He smiled.
An Urlas blade does not have such lowly beliefs as fear.
I am not a blade.
Elaka shifted her eyes toward Ruach. He took a seat and bowed his head.
So you are the one he spoke of. Your father mentioned his son who preferred two blades to one, and does not embrace the Urlas ways.
The Urlas ways did not embrace me. We lived on the fringe, away from other elves. If you didn't know, some feel that half-elves aren't up to living near the holy places.
Elves of the southern lands can be stubborn, but not quite that isolating. We do not have time for such ceremony or racist preference in recent years. But still, there are rules to society.
What are we doing? Are you questioning my place here in your world, looking for what is wrong with me? I have somewhere to go, and I would like to find my friend Tulasiro.
Tulasiro, this is the Narwhal.
He nodded.
She will meet you down by the river. The druids are down there gathering herbs, and we can see her soon, if you wish. We are your friend, Keelan. I said we need your help, and in good faith, you can know that we, too, are not so welcome among the elven councils. This is the Varmark Elven Realm. Though we are elves, we are the arm of elven power, who doesn't always follow the council's wishes, but stay more loyal to the heart of what it means to be elves. We have gone south to face a new enemy with the rangers of the Riverlands. We have dealt with the dwarfs of the far eastern Tikens Mountains before they were destroyed by some random fire that engulfed their mines. An accident, supposedly, but I feel there is a deeper malice at work. Of stranger occurrence, I'm sure to you. We've more than once stolen and taken life from our own people. Elves can be stubborn, and coercing can be difficult. We are the last willing to do whatever is necessary to secure our world. We called for the Urlar's forces. The elves fought to the north against a sect of demon men brought about by another terrible race of creatures. That fight has only recently lessened. Some have said that the Grand Protectorate instilled the desire to worship such false gods in the men, but others claim it is not true. Men themselves have claimed it evil elves who fought us. Elika snickered.
Those men fought like men, sloppy and unskilled, but with numbers that increase every day. The old fight with the young. You could say that men are fortunate. It has been some time since seed elves were born. There are no elven children in this region. Ever since the cities to the east fell under the protection of the Protectorate, that is, there is a curse upon us. This city they took had many alchemists, and though they denounce it, they use magic, and I swear they are behind the tribulations that we deal with now.
Ruach went to a stove and stoked a fire before setting a kettle to warm water.
You wonder why we brought you here, so I will get to it. The Grand Protectorate wages a war from afar, but they are not our issue. You know of the Matriarch and her son, obviously. The Orcs now dwell to the south. It is the Order of Ur, the demon god of Itsu, who we fear. They attempt to resurrect an old evil and take advantage of the chaos of elves, dwarves, and all of magic and men alike to take power from the good in the world. We need your help in stopping them.
The water on the stove had begun to boil. Ruach added some tea and then brought it to the table. Keelan stood as he did and started to pace.
I killed the Matriarch.
Ruach glanced to him.
That is a good start. And the bastard son.
Stood to the side and let me kill her before absorbing his mother's power. He is a wizard, and one not afraid to use his skills. That was before a dark swordsman threw his sword, piercing my father and mother against a sacrificial post. The orcs swarmed the caverns of the mountains, and with my baby brother I fled. I took the child to a ship of Erin, and then, while dueling the swordsman and the wizard, I discovered the identity of the dark blade I fought. My eldest brother is trapped in a mask that forces him to the will of that wizard and whatever worshippers of Ur you speak of. I already search for my sister Ulri, lost from the realm of the god Dim, and now I search for a place known as Ristania.
Elika and Ruach looked at one another.
We know of the place,
Elika said.
It is true, Ruach confirmed. It is to the east, but it is not so simple to just stroll in. Much like the Urlas realm, it is protected, and not by mere magic as protects the borders of the Eastlands. You speak of Erin, so Amhe knows of your toil.
Keelan shook his head.
They all likely think I'm dead. I worked with Arusis and two men of Dwemhar blood.
You have powerful friends, then.
I have the desire and need to save my family. What is left of them?
Ruach stood holding a cup of tea. He walked to Keelan and offered him the cup. He looked down at it.
It isn't poison. If we wanted you dead, I believe we might have been able to do it earlier.
Ruach laughed. He took the cup and took a sip. The tea was minty and had a slight tinge near the back of his throat.
Good.
Keelan nodded. Ruach went back to the table and picked up his own cup.
The Scions have long stood by elves and men as a force to do what is necessary. We fought with the Rangers of the North under Fadis the Ranger for years, but with every victory, we found more of our enemies waiting. Most of what we built in those years has fallen apart, but you will find no more dedicated friends than us. I can direct you to Ristania, but know that the Moon Elves who dwell there are not easily feigned to matters of the heart. We have little time. The elven kings in these lands will not commit forces to deal with the orcs until they have to, and we scions will prevent that if we can. There is a device, the Orc Star of Ur. It is what unifies the orc tribes, makes them malleable and controllable. It has many names, but they are all the same. Some call it the Star of Ur, or Black Star. The wars against the orcs were thrown down by the elf kingdom of old. We scions will honor that. Your father shared with me the secret of your lineage. You are Dwemhar, and your powers may help us find the orc star before it falls to the Ur.
So you needed me for that? To find some star?
If you value the lives of your brothers and sister, you will help us find it. It was my father who destroyed the Great Black One, the Lord of Orc, almost 5,000 years ago, at the end of the Orc invasions. I will not let his work be undone by some religious sect of men. You are a great warrior, and we need both the power of your mind and your blade. The Orc Star is of Dwemhar design, used to hurt them, but dark magic tainted it. If we find it, we can prevent the second rise of the orcs. I will personally take you to Ristania, but then you must go with us back to Verek, to the king who dwells there. If the orcs have begun to unify, our task will become more difficult. Keelan drank his tea and then exhaled.
I wish to see Tulasiro.
Ruach seemed taken back by Keelan's statement.
Yes, but will you help us?
I wish to speak with my friend.
Keelan had heard plenty of talk at this point. He was curious of Tulasiro and, frankly, needed time to think of what he had been told.
Then I will take you to the Narvol, Ruach said.
As they walked from the great tree and into a wide green field, he could hear the water rushing against the shores of the grassy area. To the east, there was a massive lake with a yellow-hued splash of moonlight from above.
Lake Thrasine, Ruach told him. Its shore reaches around near all the major elven kingdoms, and from the river, you can return to the sea or take a southern river toward the great Isira and to Verek. The second one will be our path after Ristania.
Keelan spotted two elves with large branches coming off their shoulders. They had long nails on their hands and glowing bracelets. They each looked up at him with a respectful nod as they reached over the water, and Tulasiro emerged. He went into the river knee-deep.
You left me.
Tulasiro rocked her horn back and forth and then splashed as she swam around. One of the druids pointed at her and laughed.
Your friend is magnificent. I had called out in my visions to one that could lead us in our path, and when I awoke, this lovely creature had come upon the shore. She is far south for a creature rumored to be in the glacial seas, but it seems that all is not as it seems.
Meridas, he said to her.
It does seem the Great One of the Seas has blessed her. Aside from these warmer waters, she swims in the fresh spring water with ease, though any creature of the sea would normally become sick. While she clearly does not need our guard, no, she is safe in these waters. As long as the elves are upon these shores, this place will be a safe haven for your creature.
It is across the waters we will go soon, Ruach said. But first, we should rest. At first light, we will take you to the far shore and the border of the great Varmark Woods. Ristania is deep within.
Keelan noticed that Tulasiro broke the surface of the water and then dove back down. It seemed like she was chasing prey as she had done many times before.
Plenty of fish to keep her satisfied. Show me to this rest. I could use it.
3. Heir of the Dwemhar. She cradled the baby's head as he slept. The milk from the goats of the palace of Erin worked as the perfect food for him since she had gotten back. Jassia sat on the balcony of the Sultan, looking over the dunes and at a pale moon. She thought of Keelan and his look toward her as he pushed the baby into her arms. Amhe walked onto the terrace, but she could tell he had no news of the kind she wanted.
Dalla has returned. I believe Brethor took a fall into a crevice for some amount of time, and he thinks he saw orcs. But other than the bodies of my fallen soldiers, we could not find Keelan. I refuse to believe he is dead.
Jassia wiped a tear from her eye.
You were close to him,
Amhe said.
I had not known he had feelings for anyone in particular.
He was a good friend. Why do I say that? He still is a good friend. He isn't dead. You have to look harder.
The baby began to cry, and Amhe took him. Jassia protested at first, but then, as the Sultan rocked the baby in his arms, making a whistling sound, the child began to sleep.
I remember when my own son was this small. I was a proud father. I still remember when he first learned to ride a camel. I couldn't keep him off it. He loved riding.
Jassia stood and solemnly stared at him.
When his mother died, he was distraught, but he learned to center his energies and release them into the world.
Amhe paused.
If only such abilities could have saved him from the blast of the Drian ship that ended his life.
Amhe sniffled and then turned to see Brethor in the doorway.
I assume Orolo hasn't been an issue,
he said.
He hasn't,
Amhe confirmed.
But I still question locking him up.
He is a traitor.
Perhaps so, or perhaps not. He does not believe himself a traitor, and though he did betray you, his purpose was to save others.
Brethor shook his head.
My family would not agree, and I do not. Plus, my friend is now gone.
Amhe nodded and handed the baby back to Jassia.
Excuse me, dear Roussis.
Amhe led Brethor back into the throne room. Dalla stood near the other commanders, sipping coffee as Brethor looked at the table map. Irwis, the legatus of the Grand Protectorate, was there as well.
They tell me there were orcs,
Irwis said.
A few,
confirmed Brethor.
Perhaps you will wish to help against them. Help us to secure the lands of men. The kingdom of Verek is a vulnerable place.
And Verek's King Ferda is not easily moved to change,
Amhe said.
War is coming to our shores. It is coming to all shores, trees and mountains, and we as the light of the city of Erin must be ready to have the courage to charge into the coming darkness.
Courage is useful, but you need more than courage,
Brethor said.
You are right. I am sending you, the Roussis girls, your brother and the Legatus and his men along with Dalla to confer with the good king and form an alliance. Furthermore, you will secure alliances with the elves as we move to stop the scourge of orcs rising in the mountains.
We are to leave,
Jassia said, entering from the balcony.
You are.
Jassia pulled the child closer to her.
The baby will remain here and be safe. He is an heir of the Dwemhar, and the servants of the House of Amhe will care to his every need until such a later time. There is no safer place for him, and you seek Keelan. Perhaps in this journey you will find him again.
Your plan to defeat the orcs is an abrupt one,
said Brethor. Amhe turned back to the assembly of men.
It is, but it must be. Though some of us know of the Order of Ur already, not everyone is affluent in the matter. I will recall why we fear the orcs. In the primordial times, as the gods battled one another, and men, elves, dwarves, Dwemhar, and all manner of creatures still slumbered in creation, the demon Ur arose as a god of evil. Take in mind this is before the Itsu separated from the gods of the north. They would align with her in time and spirit, but not yet. The gods created life, and in Ur's desire for creation he
Sample complete. Ready to continue?